All right. It is great to be here this morning. Appreciate the sunshine. We're in John chapter 13 this morning. We're going to be talking about embracing Christ's model. In verses 15 through 17, John 13, 15 through 17. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You know, imitation is really a fundamental part of our human nature, and it drives much of our learning and our behavior. Who we are, what we have in our brain is to a large part due to imitation, imitating others, whether it be our parents, our teachers, those that have been an influence in our life. And it's especially important in our Christianity, where Christ serves not only as our Redeemer, but as the ultimate model for our living. So this principle of imitation, it supports both our personal development, our growing up, everything that we learn, as well as our spiritual education. And Christ, as I said, is the ultimate example that we have. There is, if we wanted to imitate someone, wouldn't we want to imitate the best example of whatever character, whatever thing it is that we want to learn? Well, there is no more perfect character than Christ. So, unlike other biblical examples, who many of them showed very commendable traits, but remained flawed, okay, Christ stands as that perfect in his virtue. His life, void of all sin, presents to us a faultless model. So his spotless character, acknowledged both by his friends and his foes, sets that supreme standard for us to seek after. There are people like Abraham and Moses in the scripture had very specific virtues, such as their faith and their meekness. But Christ represents all of the virtues that we could possibly comprehend in perfect harmony. His life demonstrates the not just the gentler qualities like compassion, but also the strong virtues such as justice and authority. And it really provides a balanced model for us to follow. There's the softer qualities, what we consider the softer qualities, like meekness, gentleness. But then there's the stronger qualities, justice and authority. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. But Christ's model also mandates it mandates to us. He by his words and by his actions, with his own commands, he said, come and learn from me. And then in John 12, earlier in our studies, he says, follow me. So along with what Christ said and the apostolic teachings, that require us to pattern ourselves after his footsteps. So what are the practical aspects? That's all fine and good to be said, but how do we put that into practice? What do we do with that? So when we strive to pattern our lives after the divine character that's been shown, there are several areas that his examples are really a little bit easier for us to be able to see and understand. Christ was devoted to his Father's will. He lived in complete submission to God's will, And it's an approach that we can adopt as well. Earlier in John chapter 4, Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So that's the food, the spiritual food, that drove him, not just drove him, but actually sustained him to do his Father's will. And he had personal purity in all of the aspects of his life. You know, there was sin all around him, as we're going to see a little bit later in this same chapter. But also, even though he was surrounded by sin, he remained pure. And we're called to maintain that same thing through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You know, in 1 Peter 1, there's a passage there that we're all familiar with, but I want to take a look at it a little bit deeper here. In verse 22, Peter says to them, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now, I recognize that God is the one that purified our hearts in our immersion, but Peter kind of indicates there it was in obedience to the truth. We were being obedient to the truth that we heard, but that our souls were purified as a result of that. So, with pure souls, shouldn't we do something with that? We have been purified. And now Christ, in this particular passage here in John 13, he's given us an example of his humility and service. Christ washing the disciples' feet. This, you know, just before his crucifixion really illustrates his humility and service towards others. And it's a virtue here that he explicitly teaches us to develop. Christ's entire life was a demonstration of his kindness and generosity, and it challenges us to extend that same grace and forgiveness even under difficult circumstances. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So as much as Christ has forgiven us, then we should be just as willing and eager to forgive others. So I want to go back to the verse that I had read when I first opened, and that is verse 17. And it talks about the joy of obedience. He says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." He didn't say blessed if you know them. He says you're blessed if you do them. So if we want to be blessed, how are we blessed? When we do these things, when we serve one another. So Christ's teachings, beyond just, you know, the intellectual understanding, they require active and joyful obedience. And that's a difficult thing sometimes to maybe put the two together. Yeah, it's easy. Usually it's easy to be obedient. But is it just as easy to be joyful while you're being obedient? Yeah, I really want to do this. It makes me happy to be obedient. So this obedience combines our knowledge of what God's will is with our actions, and it ultimately leads to a fulfilled life. So we understand what it is we're supposed to do, And we are joyful when we do that, and that is that is what brings joy to our life. See, Christ emphasized that the true measure of understanding his teaching is our ability to live that out daily. You know, we all have a written copy of a Bible, probably several copies, many copies. But it's not just knowing what the Bible says. It's doing what the Bible says to do. And that's where the joy comes into our life. In James 1:22, it says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." So if we want to delude ourselves, then that means that we hear it, but then we don't do anything with it. We're lying to ourselves. That's what delusion is all about. So expanding on this concept of combining knowledge with action within the life, you know, within the Christian life today, it involves exploring some of the principles that can be applied to our daily lives. So how is it that we put some of these things into our life? So Christians are called to apply their biblical knowledge. We all have biblical knowledge, okay? But we're to use that in our everyday decisions and making sure that the choices that we make are representative of Christian values. They might involve honesty with our financial dealings, ethical behavior in our workplace, and integrity in our relationships with not just each other within the body, but with those out in the world as well. Regular engagement in our prayer life, in Bible study, and in service to others. It's not supposed to be ritualistic. It's not supposed to be, okay, I've got to read 3 chapters every day. And then, you know, close your Bible and I got to pray for at least 10 minutes. That is ritualistic. That's not the value. That's not the aspect that Christ is trying to teach us. It's supposed to be part of something that we want to do. That really forms the very backbone of our Christian life. So understanding biblical teaching on moral issues. You know, what is this? That should help us to guide some of our ethical decisions. Jeff was talking a few weeks ago about ethics, situational ethics. It's a difficult area sometimes. All right, but our biblical knowledge and our moral understanding is what helps us to be able to make those good decisions when situations change, when situations that you don't think about beforehand. It's easy to decide up front how you're going to react in a particular situation, but then when that situation changes, oh well, now I've got to rethink. Well, if you've got a good moral understanding of what the Bible says, then situations don't make any difference. So, for instance, you know, knowledge about the sacredness of life, okay, that will certainly influence your stance on things like abortion and euthanasia. We're not talking about little kids in China, okay? We're talking about euthanasia. Never mind. Yuck. Christians are encouraged to share their faith. Okay, with others, not just in our community here. It's with others. It involves not only knowing the gospel, but being able to communicate it effectively and compassionately. You know, the knowledge of Christ calls us to love our neighbor, and it should inspire us to get involved in service and in charitable events, helping to meet the physical, emotional, and the spiritual needs within our communities. So if we are armed with biblical principles like justice and equity, then Christians can advocate, and I'm not talking about wearing, you know, carrying signs in front of City Hall, but we can advocate for changes in our communities, in a local context. It can include fighting against inequality or an injustice, again, in local situations. You know, and it's beyond attending services that we are, like right here. It's putting our knowledge into action. It involves volunteering in church-based ministries. Might involve, even within the building, teaching Sunday school, taking part in an outreach program, or leading Bible studies. All Christians are encouraged to also mentor the younger, okay, applying their understanding in scriptures, and help guide others in spiritual growth, and especially in the challenges in life. You know, when we, as the older generation, we sometimes assume that everybody else has the same experience and the same knowledge that we do. But that's not the case. Everybody is in a different process, a different position in their spiritual walk and in their physical walk as well. That they maybe haven't, they haven't had all of the experience that everyone else has had. So sometimes just conversations can lead to discussions that you can pass along a little bit of the wisdom and the knowledge that you've gained through that school of hard knocks. So, you know, Christian parenting. Oh, that's a real easy task, right? All of us knew how to do that from day one. Well, Christian parents are tasked with the spiritual nurturing of their children and applying the biblical wisdom that they've gained in being able to teach their children. Marriage and relationships. Those, you know, there's a saying that goes around, and I'm sure that you've heard it, and it goes along the lines of, well, you know what, when you first have children, there's no manual that comes along with them. Isn't that a lie? When you think about it, there is a manual that comes along with it. There's a manual that comes along with marriage. There's a manual that comes along with relationships. And it's the same and it's really convenient because all of those manuals are combined into one. So when we have that knowledge, then it helps us to be able to have those good marriages. It helps us to have those good relationships that Christ talks about. So this combination of knowledge and action in Christianity means living out one's faith genuinely. You know, not just with the knowledge, but living it out. It involves ensuring that every area of your life is influenced by the truths that are in the Bible, and it leads to a total approach where faith and works go hand in hand. James 2:26 emphasizes, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So this way, it not only deepens a Christian's spiritual life, but it also impacts the wider community that we all live in. And there is an enjoyment in a harmonious life when we have harmony with our faith and with those around us. So by aligning our actions with Christ's teachings, we experience a really deep inner peace and a satisfaction that comes from living a purpose-driven life. Okay, title of Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life. You know, I've never read the book, okay, but so I am not advocating the book. But the title of that book really should help us to focus in on our life. Are we living a life that is driven by a purpose? What is your purpose in this life? So when he says a purpose-driven life, okay, do our lives have a purpose? Yes, they do. Whether we fulfill that purpose or not is up to us, because God's not going to force us to do that. So what is that purpose of our lives? Well, first and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and mind and soul, right? And the second is like it, as we love our neighbors as ourselves. So this harmony between belief and behavior really promotes a calm and joyful existence within us. In Philippians 4:9, Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So we have divine approval and an ultimate reward. Our faithful adherence to Christ's model assures us that his approval and the eternal rewards that come from that await those who are steadfast and obedient and are devoted to that path. In Matthew 25:21, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So all of this really ends up being a call to action. Christ's life was not really just a historical account, you know, to admire, okay, but a call to action, a call to action in our lives. His teachings, summarized by his words, his deeds, guide us to an active faith and service. See, as James says, if you have great faith, but if you don't have anything that goes along with that, he says, your faith is worthless. As we strive to model ourselves on Christ, we not only transform ourselves, but we also contribute to the spiritual uplifting of our community, and that is really to fulfill the ultimate calling that we have. So this passage in John 13, it combines the teachings of Christ about humility and service, but with a broader context of his life as a model for all of the virtues. It includes practical ways to copy Christ with the blessings that follow that obedience. And when we align our life with the teachings that are in the New Testament, whether it's through Christ's examples, his words, the apostolic teachings about what God wants us to put in our lives, then we can have that joy that is only fulfilled by not just knowing, but by doing. That's our goal. That is our purpose in this life. So I appreciate your attention. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll close with prayer.